Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, I want to welcome you to the Sharon Hunter Bay Morning Show. Our topic for today is body snatchers and organ harvesting and organ trafficking. And I was very interested in this topic and amazed at how much information is actually out there on the subject. So we're going to get down in that topic today and discuss anything that may arise related to the subject. Keep in mind, if you have a question or a comment at any time, the dial-in number for the show is 310-982-4184. Again, if you have a question or a comment, dial in at 310-982-4184, and I'll open up the lines and you can have your say on the subject. Okay, now when preparing for this show, I did a little research and I wanted to go ahead and share some of that information that I found about the subject with you. Okay, recently in China, a missing 6-year-old boy was found alone in a field crying. Upon closer inspection, both eyes had been removed, presumably for the corneas. In 2012, a young African girl was kidnapped and brought to the UK for the sole purpose of harvesting her organs. She was one of the lucky ones, rescued before she went under the knife. This isn't just an international occurrence. Kendrick Johnson, a Georgia teen, died at school in January 2013. The local sheriff quickly determined the death was a freak accident, that he suffocated after getting stuck in a rolled-up mat in the school gym. Johnson's parents, however, could not and would not accept that. 6 months after his death, they obtained a court order to have the body exhumed for an independent autopsy. The pathologist was stunned when he found the corpse stuffed with newspaper. The brain, heart, lungs, and liver were missing. He also discovered Johnson's death was due to blunt force trauma to the right side of his neck. A lady by the name of Nancy Hughes has spent over 10 years studying the dark side of organ harvesting and trafficking, which is driven by greedy middlemen and desperate wealthy recipients. Black market organs are being transplanted in New York, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles at $150,000 a pop. So that's just a little background information there. I also found an article where they said this lady is 50-year-old painter who died in 2012 at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital of complications from a lung infection was allegedly a hollowed out shell by the time he was lowered into the ground, stripped for parts like a junkyard Chevy. Highly melanated people are in demand for organs. Clayton Lockett, 38, died in a botched execution in Oklahoma on April 29, 2014. His body was released to his lawyers for autopsy, minus some of his organs. It was reported that he died 43 minutes after the execution began of what Corrections Director Robert Patton said appeared to be a massive heart attack. A private doctor conducted the autopsy on behalf of the lawyers, but the heart and the larynx were missing. That's just countless reports of people's bodies being found and their organs missing. Just countless reports. A child may have been killed for his organs in Louisiana in 2011. Jason Smith, age 14. His father, Bruce Smith, claimed he was killed by the KKK members. Organs were removed. Gregory, a promising student who planned a career in sports medicine, was over 6 feet tall, yet he supposedly hanged himself in the basement where the ceiling was only 6 feet high. He had absolutely no ligature marks on his neck to indicate hanging and no bulging, bloodshot eyes or any other indication that he hung. What Gregory did have was a large gash on the back of his head where brain matter was oozing out. His unmarked neck was broken so badly that his head nearly fell in his mother's lap when she tried to cradle his body after authorities finally released his remains. And several of his organs was also missing. There are just countless and countless reports of organs missing and coming up missing, people coming up dead and going into the hospital and waking up during that when doctors had already pronounced them dead and they were waking up during the removal of their organs and things of that nature. So organ trafficking and organ harvesting is a big business, people, a really big business. All right? Now, keep in mind that if you have a question or a comment at any time, please call in at 310-982-4184, and I'll go ahead and open up the mic and let you have your say, okay? What I want to do now is just go ahead and let you listen to this little small clip of a woman who was supposedly pronounced dead and then actually woke up during the part when she was getting her organs removed. Listen to this and tell me what you think.
Hey, here's a really disturbing story. A dead woman woke up right before they were going to, obviously she wasn't dead, harvest her organs, and doctors gave her a sedative and just planned to continue removing her organs. It's just unbelievable. This happened a couple of years ago, but we're just now finding out about it because some of the documents have finally been released. Colleen Burns was taken to an emergency room at St. Joseph's Hospital Center, and she was suffering from a drug overdose. Okay, a nurse told doctors she is recovering, she is alive, but doctors said, no, 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 we're pronouncing her dead, called her family said, okay, you can go ahead and harvest her organs, we want the organs to go for something good. Obviously, she wasn't dead. There were several signs that pointed towards her being alive. A mandatory reflex test was performed on the undersides of her feet, and she did clench her toes. She appeared to be breathing without a respirator. Didn't stop doctors. Nurses told doctors that this was going on. Doctors said, give her this really powerful sedative. Now, I'm not a doctor, Lewis. I know most people watch this show. It probably seems to them like I'm a doctor. I don't blame people for thinking that, but I'm actually not a doctor. But if someone requires a sedative before you remove all of their internal organs, is that not an indication that the person's alive still?
Presumably a corpse does not need a sedative, yes.
Right. What's most amazing about this is that the hospital was sanctioned and a number of mistakes were involved in the sanctions. The total fine for the hospital was only $22,000. Burns declined to sue after all of this happened. Burns was severely depressed, and in fact, Colleen Burns ended up taking her own life about a year and a half ago at the age of 41. Nobody is blaming this mix-up for her suicide. She, by all admissions, was deeply, deeply ill, and that this didn't play any kind of role. I got some emails about this saying, David, you realize what's going on here, right? We have a for-profit healthcare system, and it's very clear that an individual is worth more to the hospital dead because of the organ harvesting than they would collect by billing Colleen Burns for having kept her alive. It's incredibly morbid and macabre, but maybe there is some element of truth there. What I can say for, we can't say for sure that financial interests were at play here. What we can say for sure is that having a for-profit healthcare system is not a positive influence on American society.
No doubt. This is a situation where they might have known that she didn't have health insurance and the money could have been a factor. But at the same time, if you've got a woman who is presumably a mess on your hands, who is an organ donor, who is on the verge of dying, and you're a doctor and you think to yourself, well, let's just put her out of her misery and maybe these organs can go to a young child who needs them and isn't a mess of a human being who's probably going to die from another drug overdose later or damage these organs beyond repair, that I could see someone making that decision. Not that it's the right decision to make.
Not even that, Lewis. It's not even their decision to make. And you're absolutely right that I could see them doing that. And it's just incredible because it wouldn't be their decision to make. Very, very concerning story.
All right. Now, what did you think about that clip? How would you react to that situation if it had actually occurred to you, happened to you? This woman was obviously pronounced dead, but they gave her a sedative. Why would you give a dead person a sedative anyway? But they gave her a sedative, so obviously she wasn't all completely dead at that point, and started to remove her organs, and she woke up during the process. She actually survived that and declined, I see, to sue the hospital or anything of that nature, and ended up committing suicide herself later on in life. So I guess they still won. They got her organs anyway, but at a later time. So the person in that clip indicated that perhaps our healthcare system is a reason why the organ industry is as strong as it is. What do you think about that? I'm going to bring a caller in on the line and see if we can get an opinion on what they think about that. Area code 904-303. Tell us who you are and what's your question or comment.
Yeah, this is Tahaka Amana Elbe out of Jacksonville, Florida. Listen to the clip. One thing I know, I've been doing some research on organ harvesting, and this is a billion-dollar industry. And it is as if, just like we go to the store and we purchase food on a daily basis. This kind of stuff is going on all over the United States. They have things set up. If people, if you notice when you get your driver's license, They have a slot on there where you can elect to be an organ donor. But that is one of the most dangerous things to do because it contributes to this mocking. People have been on the roster as organ donors. And these people, because you have given them a record, have been actually kidnapped, killed, murdered, and their organs taken from them because they are listed on the roster, and all they have to do is look up your name and address, your medical records, your blood type and all that, and see if you are a match. And if you are a match in an emergency situation, these people will actually kill you. When you get to the hospital, if you gotta have to go to the hospital, and you discover that a lot of people are going to the hospital for a little to nothing, and they are not really that bad off. But then the doctor come back and say, well, they died. And the next thing you know, the organs are missing. And so you have to understand that the people, you got a lot of wealthy people who are in bad shape, and they need these organs, and they're willing to pay somebody to get them. And you have people who are accepting these contracts, killing these people, extracting their organs, and all they need is a plastic bag and a cooler for the ice to put the organ on and have it shipped wherever it needs to be shipped so the operation can be performed. Very, very dangerous situation here.
I must agree with you. I remember when I was younger growing up when my grandmother told me myself about the organ thing, and when I first went and got my driver's license and things, and I told her that they asked me if I wanted to be an organ donor. She said, I hope you told them no. I said, yeah, I told them no because I don't want to give my organs away. And she said, well, good. Don't ever sign up to be an organ donor. She didn't tell me why, just not to sign up, but she did tell me don't sign up to do it. Now, I have seen different commercials and things on that TV where they are actively saying that people of African descent are some of the, as a group, organs less than any other group or whatever, that normally we are the people who just will not sign up to donate organs. But they're pushing and selling for us to become, and I see a lot of more people are falling for that propaganda and are actually becoming organ donors and things of that nature. But I think the people of African descent, their organs tend to be more valuable on the market than other people's organs and things of that nature. What do you think about that, Brother Tahaka?
Well, exactly. You have to understand that we are highly carbonated people. And what I mean by that, a lot of people say melanin, but actually there's no such thing. This is something someone created, and it doesn't have any validity. When you're talking about people of African descent, you're talking about people who have high concentrations of carbon and copper in the body, and they have been targeted. When we had the drug wars in the 90s, 80s, and 90s out there in Los Angeles, California, we had thousands of guns and drugs flooded the African-American community, and the brothers were killing each other. But the organ harvesting was going on undercover. The Jeffrey Dahmer situation involved the same thing. This is a business that has been going on for years and years and years, but now it is coming to light. People are paying attention now, and they're listening. But when it comes to us, you have to look at the adoption situation. They're going in other countries, and especially in Africa, and they are because Africa has these lax laws on different things, and they're able to adopt African children. When you see these Caucasians adopting these African children, that's just like having money in the bank in the event that they get older and get sick or something. they can simply extract the organs, and you will be surprised that it's not, they're not just adopting children at random. They are picking specific children with specific blood types and all of this stuff that coincides with their future needs. And these children will be sacrificed later should the need arise. And this is a big business. So when you see these people adopting these children, if they're doing the child a favor, that's not true. You're dealing with a very serious situation here. And if they were so interested in adopting the children, there's plenty of them here in the United States could be adopted, but they do not want to uncover and unmask this crime. They keep under wraps. But they are in, people of African descent are in high demand, in answer to your question, yes, for organ harvesting.
Okay. Yeah. I believe so. It just kind of is amazing to me because it seems like people of African descent are always the first one targeted for things of this nature, but seem to be the group that everybody despises or doesn't want to affiliate themselves with. Yet when it comes to something as though body parts, you eagerly want them. Now, why would you want the parts of somebody in you that you despise? I don't understand that.
Well, the thing is, this is why I teach so much on the broadcast that I do about having knowledge of self and embracing self and loving yourself. You're able to position yourself to be prepared and to be strong enough to recognize an enemy and know what to do any time something happens to one of your loved ones or something. You have to do an investigation, and you have to be prepared to make a statement statewide and nationwide in the event that your child has been injured or harmed in any way. So it's important for us to embrace ourselves and get a clear and concise understanding about who we are and what we are. And when we do that, then the badge of importance, the scale of importance, go higher and higher and higher. But until you do that, we only become small reactionaries. And you want to be a bit bigger than that. They have to know that if you have tampered with the wrong individual, is going to have nationwide consequences, and so that we can stop this kind of stuff going on. You know, that's the way I see it.
I think that's going to probably be the only solution. I think more recently the case of with Kendrick Johnson in Georgia really brought all of this to light in a big fashion, because this was just a little 17-year-old fella, never really been in trouble and things of that nature, and just came up missing. Body was found, and then they took it real quick and then said what they wanted the cause of his death to be and buried the guy and all kind of stuff. Just quick, everything done really and behind the scenes and without the parents' knowledge. So I have a clip that I would like to play you on the Kendrick Johnson story just so we can get a background on what happened with him. Listen up for this, and then we'll come back and discuss it. All right?
Okay. All right.
Now, we got this youngster, Kendrick Johnson, 17-year-old black child, found dead in high school gym and stuck between some athletic equipment. Then we find out that all his organs is gone, okay? The sheriff and all the folks down there, the natural causes. Now you got an undertaker and call you. I know you're not being back, but you need to check this out. The undertaker, this happened in Georgia, Valdosta, Georgia. The undertaker that was brought in to deal with the body is the same undertaker from Miami that was used to deal with Trayvon Martin. Now you're gonna tell me as close as Atlanta is with Black Undertaker, you're going to call all the way to Florida and have a Black Undertaker come up, and then they exhumed the body, because people was asking serious questions, and found out his body was stuffed with newspaper. The Black Undertaker from Miami didn't know that, then he must be part of it, okay? Now
he's the same one that did Trayvon, right?
The same one that did Trayvon. And I've always suspected something was wrong with Trayvon, because it's not been for you and Black Radio, we would have never heard of him, because he laid in the morgue as a John Doe. Okay? Case would have been closed. And so now what we're looking at, now the body's been exhumed, and we find out that all his organs was gone. I've been trying to tell y'all that, and I keep telling you, you don't hear it. That the drive-by shootings, most of them, is body organ stealing, okay? We go back to and it's been reported, but ain't nobody listening, because it seems so awesome. But if you Google a New York Times story, July the 24th, 2009, 44 charged by U.S. in Jersey corruption sweep, and they're talking about stealing organs. And so consequently, what the biggest money maker on the planet right now is organs. All these drive-by. But look, if I'm so thuggish, I'm just going to go and shoot people in the Black community. What difference would it make if I shoot a woman or a man? Are you telling me these Black folks that's doing it is so into respecting the Black woman, they don't shoot them? 98% of drive-by shootings is men. And most of them are head shots. How you going to shoot me in the head from a car when your hand is moving? And all the bullets is going down. Am I on the rooftop or something? And so consequently, when you stop and think about, you know, how long this has been going on. And when you look at the New York Times article, let me tell you, me and Carl have been sharing this for a long time. When King was shot, was beat up by the cops, and he just died recently. Here's a story in the New York Times, Sunday, May the 10th, 1992. Los Angeles police differ sharply with the prosecutor on arrest. Police officers said today that they have arrested 18,213 people from Wednesday night, April the 29th, the day the riots began, through this morning. But the prosecutors say they cannot account for as many as 10,000 of them people. We don't know where they are. This is who talking, James Hearn, the Los Angeles City Attorney. It is a mystery to a lot of us in the system. Well, and then it's falling. 10,000. They do it under the auspice of a ride. Now, very seldom they'll slip and give information, because both of them is talking and they not in on the, you know. And so they saying, we arrested 18,213. We can't find 10,000 of them. Well, I tell you what it was. They shipped them up to Gooseneck, Oregon. Okay? To the Coast Guard Hospital. We checked it out, and somebody said, yeah, they brought 10,000, bunch of Black folk came through here. How'd they explain it? Well, they just said they were uneducated, they couldn't find jobs, so we're going to teach them how to fight forest fires. And that talent is used all. You don't have to learn math or trigonometry to fight forest fires. That's what's been happening right in front of you. And so, let me give you an example. If you my son, okay, and they come by the house and announce to me and your mother that you've been killed in a drive-by shooting, I have no jurisdiction over that body. That's a murder. That's a homicide. the coroner. The coroner determines when I see that body, okay? So when I get in there and see the body and see all them stitches and needle marks and what they, I just assume that was part of the investigation. I have no idea they're taking your organs, okay? That's what's been going on, and that's what happened. Very seldom you get that lucky. We got a bunch of us that follows them and look at it, but for the first time, I mean, CNN talked about it. It broke the white station that broke it was headline news. And I mean, even the guy, I was shocked to my comment, that, you know, the guy that broke it said, you know, Dick Murphy's been talking about this for years. And so now, when you stop and think about what's been going on, why wouldn't I, as a mother or a father, I'm already shook up over my child being gone, why would I think there's anything devious about it? Okay? And now all of y'all that's listening that had a loved one, child, ain't no way you can get to the body because you got to go to court and have that body exhumed, and they're not about to do that.
Greg, we've got to roll out of here. But thank you for joining us, and happy birthday again.
To you, and happy. Thank you for being on as long as you was on.
All right, folks.
All right. Thank you for listening to that clip. I believe that was the late Dick Gregory on that clip, who was actually a big-time activist. And he actually, I didn't know about the correlation with the coroners in the Kendrick Johnson case to that of the Trayvon Martin case. I wasn't aware that they used the same coroner. Now, why, if you're in the Kendrick Johnson case, was actually in Georgia and really close, I think it was outside like in Columbus, Georgia, or somewhere, some part of Georgia that he was actually in. But you got big time Atlanta right there, closer to it. Why would you go all the way to Florida to get a coroner to do a case in Georgia? That right there seems suspicious anyway. And when the parents actually dug up, exhumed their child's body, that's when they found out that he had all this stuff with newspaper and things. And they had said that his death was accidental, that he died by suffocation and things of this nature. But the report revealed that he actually had that the pathologist was stunned when he found the quote stuff with papers, and the brain, the heart, and lungs and liver were missing. And they also discovered that his death was due to a blunt force trauma to the right side of his neck. So how could that have been an accident? How could he have committed suicide with all of that going on? So I think the case is still under investigation or whatever, but I haven't heard about very much being done about it. Brother Tahar,
are you still
have
with
you heard
me?
Yes. Can you hear
Aaron?
Me? Yeah.
Anyway, I would like to add, as I have said earlier, this is a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and you have coroners involved. You have funeral home participation. This is a major business. When you got funeral homes that have not done a good job in the past, and they don't get much business, and so they, in order for them to survive, they participate in this particular industry, in this funeral organ harvesting industry. But what I would like to encourage the parents to do is you have to take this thing very, very seriously, and you have to be prepared to do what you have to do. If you have someone in your family that this has been done to, you have to do something about it. Running out, protesting, looking for an investigation. No, you have to do something that's going to cause the world to pay attention. And so because this is serious. Same thing with the police shootings and all of this stuff. Until you do what you have to do and what should have been done over 400 years ago, this type of stuff will continue to happen. And so we are going to have to deal with this. And that's just the bottom line on this situation here. I don't know. I think the sister's call has dropped.
Brother Tahar, can you hear me?
I have to dial back in.
Can you hear me?
Are you with us, sister? One moment, please. We have some technical difficulties.
Brother Tahaka? Hello? Brother Tahaka? Hello, Brother Tahaka, can you hear me now? I'm not sure if my voice is being able to be heard on the radio or not. I think I'm having some difficulties. But give me just a second, and I'll see what I can do to rectify this situation. Thank you. Hello, Brother Tahaka. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and play a commercial if it'll work, and let's see if this will till I can rectify the situation. Great. What's going on? Hello, Brother Tahaka. Can you hear me now? I don't know what's going on. Hello, Brother Tahaka. Hello, Brother Tahaka, are you there? Can you hear me?